Listeners, please welcome a real finance nerd from our sponsor, NerdWallet. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for having me.
We all know NerdWallet for their credit card comparisons, but there's more to it than that, right?
So much more. Even for credit cards, it's not the basic this card versus that card. With us, you can filter for features you want, add your top cards to a comparison table, and get access to exclusive offers.
Smarter tools, smarter financial decisions.
Exactly. Beyond credit cards, we research and review thousands of other financial products, from high-yield savings accounts to mortgage lenders, so you can find the smartest products.
Hear that, world? NerdWallet is not just credit cards.
Thanks for that important PSA, Rich.
And where exactly should people go to compare and find these credit cards and savings account and mortgage rates and more?
NerdWallet.com/learn more.
Thanks again to NerdWallet, our paid sponsor of this segment. NerdWallet, finance smarter.
Hey, that's my line. Finance smarter, y'all. NerdWallet Compare Inc., NMLS 1617539.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Do you think Shohei Ohtani will wind up being the greatest baseball player in the lifetimes of anybody who's alive right now?
Check this out.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Ohtani, the greatest day in baseball history.
Today's guests, ESPN NFL analyst Dan Orlovsky, Fox Sports announcer and voice of the Dodgers, Joe Davis, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, and now it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Week 3 is underway in the National Football League, and Shohei Ohtani is already in Cooperstown. My goodness gracious. What a Thursday it was yesterday. What a Friday it's going to be. All 3 hours, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a What's More Likely Friday. I've got my top five list of other games to look forward to for the rest of the National Football League Week 3 campaign. Dan Orlovsky, who's calling Bills and Jaguars on Monday night. He's first up. Tom Pelissero will be joining us. And the guy who is calling Eagles-Saints for Fox will be joining us in hour number two. But that's not why he's joining us. He's the one who called Shohei Ohtani busting down the door of the 50-50 club yesterday, the voice of the Dodgers and also Major League Baseball on Fox, and the number two game, if you will, on the NFL calendar for Fox every single Sunday. Joe Davis will be joining us on this program, and you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. I'm great. What's up, man?
Jay Felly,
hey.
Good to see you.
Have a great day today.
TJ Jefferson, the candle is lit over there. Good to see you.
How's everybody doing today?
Everything's great, man. We have lots to get to. Right. Let's start this show last September. Now, listen. I know a lot of fun was made of Jets fans last year. I get it. A lot of us New Yorkers were excitable and starving for something good to happen. And when Aaron Rodgers signed with the Jets last year, I know a lot of folks were making fun of Jets fans because they were thinking Super Bowl right off the bat. But I'll just be straight up with everybody, speaking on behalf of Jets fans. All Jets fans are looking for is to just not be kicked in the nards by the football gods anymore. That's just for a starter. That's just a low bar.
You're not asking too much.
Not asking for too much. Just stop kicking Jet fans in the nards, football gods. And with Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets last year, the step up from the not being kicked in the nards by the football gods anymore went hand in hand with having a quarterback that you could depend on and not have to worry about, an actual adult in the quarterback room for the New York Jets. And with all due respect to our friend Mark Sanchez, when he took the Jets to back-to-back AFC championship games, he wasn't the adult in the quarterback room. He was the kid who had to have Mark Brunell tell him, take notes.
The Sanchez.
Bring a binder to the meetings.
Don't eat hot dogs during games.
That's another one.
Mark, I want you to have my cheese fries.
So, an adult in the quarterback room who could individually take a look at a defense and say, I've got this. I will dissect it. I will lead. And then he leads the Jets out of the locker room with an American flag on 9/11. And everybody's like, there he is. Can't wait to see it. And we all know four snaps in, the Nards got kicked by the football gods. And it all went down the tubes, and the adult in the room gets helped off the field. And out comes the kid, quarterback again, and yada, yada, yada. And Jet fans now have to think the rest of the offseason and this training camp season again is, let's ramp it up. Let's just see if Rodgers can be the Rodgers that we thought. He could be adult in the quarterback room, dissecting the defense pre-snap and then dissecting them post-snap and running around like Aaron Rodgers. And last night in the Jets home opener this year, Rick Dalton, Jeff, there it is. Right there on Thursday Night Football. That's it. That's where Jet fans looking at the screen last night. That's it. That's it. That's it. 27 of 35, 281 yards, two touchdowns, and a running game to boot. And he's finding Tyler Conklin, his tight end, for the most yards on the night, 93. Alan Lazard in the end zone. And even for Rodgers, a first as he's entering his 41st year of life later on this fall. A first. When he hit Garrett Wilson for a touchdown last night for the Jets, it was the first touchdown reception by a first-round wide receiver in Aaron Rodgers' career. He never had it in Green Bay. The only first-rounder who caught a touchdown pass from Rodgers in his tenure in Green Bay was Mercedes Lewis. It was a first for Rodgers, too. And a first for Rodgers to actually finish a game in New York City. And a first for Rodgers to hear his name chanted by New York sports fans who are losing their gourd. And also, Rick Dalton, Jeff. First win for the Jets at home against the Patriots since 2015. And they pounded the Patriots, as the New York Post back page rightfully declared.
It was not close.
On Friday morning, to heel and back.
Ah, that's funny.
1 year after nightmare home opener, Rodgers and co. pound Patriots. That's it. It happened. Now, that's one time. We'll see what happens in the future. But it happened. It happened. The Jets won the time of possession 2-1. 40 minutes and 4 seconds to the Patriots, 1956. And they just took out a team that was less than them. Not just roster-wise, but health-wise. Short week, left side of the line, totally revamped. Kids for the Patriots playing all over the lot in most important positions. The quarterback and Brissett just hectored from the jump. And the Jets defense jumped the Patriots on defense. And then Rodgers took care of the rest. He's the adult in the quarterback room. Oh, I see what they're doing defensively. I got this. And honestly, I don't know what's going on with Nathaniel Hackett, but number of times there's cutaways to Hackett. He's not talking in his headset. I don't know. Is Rodgers calling? Is he doing everything? I don't know. Obviously, him and Hackett are like this.
Maybe they're just catching him at a bad moment.
No, I'm sure Hackett absolutely has some significant role in everything that Rodgers is planning or doing or executing, but this is his show, man. He's running it. And I don't think Jet fans understand what it's like to feel this way. It just hasn't happened for them. And it finally happened a year late. And it's happened now once at home. That was a nice win over Tennessee, coming back and
and not coming into this game 0-2. They're 2-1. They're taking on Denver next, and then they're going to be in London. I'm calling that game. Vikings, Sam Darnold. I mean, who looked terrific. That's going to be a fun game in London. But that's down the road. For the moment, the Jets got to win at home with Aaron Rodgers. And he had this to say after the game as a victorious New York Jet home quarterback against the Patriots. Hit it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was a really special night. All those chants are really meaningful. I was kind of hoping for a stop there to be able to take a final knee on the field. But, yeah, special night.
Curious, just like what were you feeling in that tunnel coming out before the game?
I was hoping I wouldn't have to make a decision about whether to carry a flag or not, because I was probably going to be the only guy that wouldn't. I'm stitious, and maybe not superstitious, but I think I would have passed on that. But, you know, I felt a really good calm about it, honestly. I didn't think a whole lot about it. Obviously, it was emotional to come back home for the first time since then, but I really think the first week kind of took a lot of the fears and anxiety of playing out, and tonight I felt like I played pretty free.
Damn straight. He looked terrific.
Nice suit.
Yeah, I know, right? Mm-hmm. He looked terrific. According to Next Gen Stats, Rodgers sprinted 136 yards on Thursday night. The most he sprinted in a game since 2018. And sprinted is defined as reaching 12 miles an hour. This is a guy on an Achilles repaired, pushing 41. He looked really terrific, moving out of the pocket, making throws, and leading, and calming the waters down. Good Lord. It's so rare to see from a Jet quarterback. Trust me. It's one game. They're 2-1. The Bills are sitting there atop the division. That's going to be a heck of a Monday night game when they come back from London. But the Jets are in the mix. And we'll talk about the Patriots later on in this program as their coach made a more definitive statement on who the starting quarterback is moving forward than he did post-game last night, wondering about whether it's going to be Jerod Mayo, who came in the game at the very end. But Jets defend their home turf. Rodgers looks great and emerges healthy. And we'll talk about it with Dan Orlovsky shortly on this program. But we have to talk about Shohei Ohtani.
Bro.
I don't know if there are any superlatives left to describe accurately what we're seeing from this guy. But this guy entered play in Miami yesterday. Two home runs and one stolen base shy of the 50-50 club. Nobody's ever hit 50 home runs in the same season in which they've stolen 50 bases. Nobody's ever had that. And he entered yesterday's game two home runs shy, 48, and one stolen base shy, 49, and emerged from the game 51-51.
Like what?
Okay.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Come again?
And he did it in a game. Three home runs, two stolen bases, 6-for-6, 5 extra base hits, 10 runs batted in. So he not only...
That can't be real.
He not only reached the 50 home run mark and exceeded it, but he reached the 50 stolen base mark and exceeded that. If we do, in fact, see another 50-50 player in our lifetimes, or our children, your beautiful young boy was hanging out here earlier today.
He was.
Before the show. Cage was here. My children grow up and see another 50-50 member. I think we can safely guarantee they will never enter such club in the manner in which Ohtani established it on Thursday. He not only opened the 50-50 club, he created a VIP area within it. Okay? He not only established the velvet ropes, but then, like a Mike Del Tufo 50th birthday party, created special laminates to enter other more very important sections to it.
If you were going to say it, I was going to say
okay.
it.
So, and by the way, I'm done making Del Tufo Otani references
Thank you.
And analogies. That's done. One last other sort of observation here, and how special it is, and how off the charts remarkable this player is. Because when you look at others who have hit 50 home runs before, he's doubled the number of stolen bases anybody who's hit 50 home runs before have done. Okay, so it's not like he's established the 50-50 club. He's crushed it. Other 50-20 players, which is the only other club that had been open before this, A-Rod in 2007 had 24 stolen bases. Willie Mays in 55 had also 24 stolen bases. He now has 51. He's doubled it. And in terms of players who have stolen 50 bases and the most home runs that anybody's ever hit in that category, he's beaten Ronald Acuna Jr. by 10 home runs and Eric Davis of the Reds by 14 home runs. And this, and counting, and counting. It's not like the season's over.
Yeah.
But here's the stat that shows it all. With everything that he did yesterday and becoming the first Dodger to ever have 10 runs batted in, right? You want to put that board up as well? Because as you might imagine, Sean Mitchell was very happy to create multiple boards for this segment.
He was basically live texting us last night.
Dodger fan of the Rich Eisen show. First player in Major League Baseball history with 3 home runs and 2 stolen bases in a game. First player in Major League Baseball history with 10 runs batted in and 5 extra base hits in a single game. By the way, one of his doubles, almost a triple, got thrown out of third.
Yep.
First Dodger with 10 runs batted in 1 game. 7th Major League game with 17 total bases. 16th Major League game with 10 runs batted in. But this statistic says it absolutely all. In the history of Major League Baseball. Okay. Runs batted in became a stat in 1920. Since that day, we've seen players with 10 runs batted in a game, right? We've seen players with 6 or more hits in a game. We've seen players with 5 or more extra base hits in a game. We've seen players hit 3 or more home runs in a game, and we've seen players steal 2 bases or more in a game. We've seen that. But we've never seen anybody collectively do that in an entire career. Nobody's retired from baseball saying, I've done each and one of those things in a game in my career. And Ohtani did it Thursday, all in one game, to establish the 50-50 club. And then you decided, oh, now there's a 51-51 club as well. There are no words for it.
It's the greatest day by a hitter ever in the history of baseball.
That is not an exaggeration. There's no other way to describe it than that.
It's wild.
There's no other way to describe
Again,
it.
Again, we're out of descriptions and words right. to describe this dude.
When we were going off the air yesterday, I gave you an update on his stats. I gave you his home runs, his stolen base. I was like, looks like he'll get it soon. I didn't realize how soon was.
and surpass it.
Hours.
And surpass
Literally
it.
Literally hours yesterday.
How soon is now, said Morrissey, I think, later in the afternoon.
And wait, guys, because there is a distinct possibility. Distinct possibility that this guy could close a game in the playoffs that are about to hit.
Wow.
Honestly, this guy 100%, I don't know if his arm's going to hold up. I don't know what his. I'm not in the bullpen sessions. I'm not in the outfield sessions. I'm not seeing it. And, you know, I don't know what the doctors are saying. I have no earthly idea. But for a team that had to put Urias on the mound to close out games, right, in their 2020 COVID season, we've seen them put Kershaw out to close games. I mean, they get desperate to close games.
Michael Kopech has been awesome since joining the team.
I understand, but I'm just throwing it out. Or an eighth inning, or seventh inning.
I was going to say setup guy. Okay, but yeah.
You can't say that's out of the realm.
No.
That's how remarkable this guy is. And we mentioned it when Willie Mays passed away. Who's the greatest living ball player right now? And we were talking about guys who have retired.
Barry Bonds
was mentioned. Listen, Judge is having a remarkable season. I mean, even with Ohtani's 10 runs batted in, how many is that giving him this year right now? I don't have that number in front of me. But Judge had 136.
I mean, he was slapping everybody.
He was 26 in front of the field. I don't know if Ohtani's closed that gap. How many does he have right now?
120.
Okay. So he closed the gap. He needed 10 to get within 16. But guys, you've got to include Shohei Ohtani in that conversation. Is the greatest living baseball player. Unbelievable. And we'll talk to Joe Davis, who called the game, top of hour two. But let's take a break. Dan Orlovsky will be joining us from the Worldwide Leader in Sports to talk about what he saw from Aaron Rodgers and preview the rest of week three. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Let's talk about game time tickets, people. We've been talking about it, actually, for months here on the Rich Eisen Show and our Rich Eisen podcasts. But guess what? There's something new to tell you about game time. There's a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. Game Time Picks filters out the fluff to show you only incredible deals on great seats so you don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets. Yet another way that Game Time makes things easier for you when you're looking for tickets to anything in your area. With the new Game Time Picks, it's curation easier to save more on sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. And with the all-in pricing feature, which is my favorite, you get to see the total up front, so there's no surprise fees at Game Time checkout. And with Game Time, you always get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time's going to credit you 110% of the difference. Plus, your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Take the guesswork out of buying concert tickets in particular with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Joe Davis, who called yesterday's remarkable action for the Dodgers and locally, he'll be joining us top of hour number two. But right now, joining us, a man who's going to be calling Bills and Jaguars on Monday Night Football in week three, from the stellar NFL Live program on ESPN. Our friend Dan Orlovsky's back here. How you doing, Dan?
How are you, buddy? Good to see you, man.
I'm great. Let's just jump right into it. Aaron Rodgers looked to me like he was 25 years old again. It really is unbelievable. That I guess that's what helps when you're, when your Achilles is 1 year old, right? And you're 40,
pretty much? Yeah. You know, I forgot how much I loved watching that person throw the football. I everything about him when it comes to throwing the ball. I mean, you know, Aaron's probably one of my favorite players of all time. Personally, we, you know, came out of school the same year and same draft class, played in the same division. Obviously, I got to see him play a bunch of times, and he's just one of my favorite people to ever watch throw a ball. And to not have it last year, and really not 22 because, you know, he had the broken thumb, or not kind of who he is, I've missed it, man. And you know, you saw a glimpse of it week one, and then another couple of glimpses of it week two, and then, man, last night him throwing the ball, bud, is just, you know, he had one of the throws last night, and even my sons watching the game said he threw that one funny, and I said he throws them all funny, dude. You know, he does. So I think that was the best sign, is just watching him be able to play some of those throws, and the quickness that he did it, and the effortless element of doing it, man. It was really fun to watch.
Well, the thing that I saw that I thought was the best sign, other than he was spreading the ball around, I mean, he found his tight end. He found his third wide receiver. He found Garrett Wilson in the end zone as well. But on the run, the quintessential Rodgers out of the pocket dimes that you have to be concerned, as a guy who's pushing 41 with a new Achilles, would he still be able to have that part of his game? I'm wondering what you saw on that front, Dan.
Yeah, the throws on the move were remarkable, but I really never doubted that he would get back to a lot of that. I really didn't. I've always believed that you just don't doubt greats like this when it comes to their ability to do stuff. That's always been a part of his game. He takes really good care of his body. He's much healthier at 40 than most 40-year-olds on the planet. And watching like that throw that he threw to Rucker on third down, the throw that he throws to Garrett for the touchdown, probably the only person on the planet making that throw, maybe Patrick, maybe Josh, but making that throw and the way he did it, I think most guys would just throw that away. At 99 times that might get picked for a six, you know, pick six the other way. So I love the fact that he moved the way that he did. I knew that the ball distribution would be there. You know, Rich, I'd say this as just the treetop take of the offense through three games, you know, fundamentally that this offensive line can pass protect, you know, that, okay. That has been proven through three games. What I did not expect is they're running the ball relatively well as well. I'm not telling everybody that they're going to lead the NFL in rushing, but they're getting 5-6 yards a clip. And that's unbelievably beneficial for that offense. He said after the game last night, and when you watch the All-22, teams are very much so focused on trying to stop Garrett Wilson. The fact that Conklin steps up and takes advantage of that, the fact that Allen steps up and takes advantage of it, the fact that you have those two backs that are physical, Mike Williams winning one-on-ones, and then Garrett, when he's getting one-on-ones, winning. And that's mainly because Aaron can throw it wherever he wants. I don't know how you could sit back and not be encouraged. And, you know, my question that I walk away from this morning is, what team in the AFC can that Jets team of last night not beat? There is not one. I'll give you the answer. There is not one team that they cannot beat.
I'll be honest. I mean, I still need.